Indeed, we do certainly appreciate the song service this morning. Appreciate your humble prayer. It is good to see each one of you today. Trust as we go forward in the service this morning that we'll continue in prayer. We'll have a prayerful mindset. And that we'll have a ready mind. The Lord bless us with a ready mind toward His Word. In trying to preach His Word, and that you'd be able to receive from the Word of the Lord this morning. Thinking still in the same line of thought, some of the things that we tried to preach last Sunday, I guess maybe overall you could think, and if I remember correctly, I think we did title the discourse last Sunday, Having a Ready Mind to Serve the Lord. Having a ready mind, a prepared mind, a made up mind. And the only way we're going to keep that mindset, brothers and sisters, is to consistently and constantly, and in a measured way, to meditate upon the Word of God. To read it, meditate upon it, think upon it, and then to use it in a practical way in every aspect of our life. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Remember the text, Matthew 4:4. When Jesus replied to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if we don't do that, and if we don't have that mindset, if we don't have that prepared mind, that ready mind that is meditating upon the Scriptures and upon God's Word, the first thing you know will be acting out of the old nature. And the works of the flesh will come forth and be manifested. Well, it may not be some great or outstanding or something that would get you disfellowship from the church for, you know. In that particular sense, there is any sin or action in the flesh in a carried on way, in a consistent way, in a continuous way that could cause division, that could cause strife, that could cause turmoil, that could cause and hinder the peace of the church and get us into trouble in that sense. What I'm saying is you may not go out and commit adultery, but if you let your tongue, that is that unruly member, if you let it continuously to run off, and for every thought that comes through your mind, you just go ahead and speak it out. You know, that's just as bad. And we can do just as much damage in that sense as any of the others. So we need to have that continuance thinking and meditating upon toward the Word of God. Now, the problem is that although we're not still under the carnal law of the old man, we're not under the law of sin and death. We're not under bondage to that. But that still comes up. That can still crop up. That can still come about. And we can act out of that if we're not living and walking in the Spirit. You know, the Apostle Paul, he told the Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll back up to verse 1. The words we want is in verse 3, but listen there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. Now notice that he tells the Corinthians, you're carnal. Now, they're born again children of God. They're baptized church members. But in this sense, the Apostle Paul says, you're carnal. Why are they carnal? Listen to this. There is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Notice that question mark. And walk as men. What is he saying there? Walk as men. What kind of men? Unregenerate men. Men of the world. In other words, he's saying your walk, your actions, your conduct is like the world. You're carnal. You're carnal from that standpoint. Now your soul and spirit is not in a state of carnality because you've been born again. But you're still acting, and you're not being led, and you're not walking in this area by the Spirit, and you're still manifesting out in the works of the flesh, and that's why that there's envying and strife and divisions. Now, we know and understand, and I've said this before, and this is certainly where I base this, and the text to prove it is in Romans chapter 7 and verse 25, where the apostle at the conclusion of what he said in chapter 7, he says, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You don't sin out of your spiritual mind. You don't sin out of the spiritual mindset. You don't sin out of the new creature. You don't sin out of that new nature. You sin out of the flesh nature. And that's what Paul is saying. So then with the mind, and that mind there he's referring to, he's talking about the new nature, the new man, the new creation, that inward man created in regeneration that is renewed day by day, that does not perish. This outward man is perishing. This body's perishing because housed in this body, this natural body, is the body of sin that is housed in it. And therefore, it's going to bring it down, and it's going to bring it down to the grave, because when his sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. But Paul is telling them, he told them in one place, to be spiritually minded is life, to be carnally minded is death. Now, to the child of God, we know that death, that separation there, that's not talking about the wrath of God to come. That's not talking about being separated from God in that eternal sense. But it's talking about right here in this life. To be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded, to be naturally minded is death. It will bring about a separation between us and God. It will break fellowship between us and God. So in order to keep that fellowship, we must meditate upon God's word. A very familiar expression of scripture that's found in the first Psalm. Starting there in verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. God's law, God's direction, God's instruction, that God has told us in his word to direct our life. And if we're going to have the peace and the joy right here as we live, then we will have to be spiritually minded. You know, this to meditate, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, this is what the Lord God giving unto Joshua. When Joshua's going to take over the leadership position after Moses is dead, and particularly in verse 8 of the first chapter of the book of Joshua, the Lord instructs him and says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I tell you, when the word of God departs out of our mouth, when the word of God departs out of our mind, when the focus is not there, when God's word is not centered, that's when we would operate out of that carnal nature, that old man, and the works of the flesh can be manifested and brought forth. And the longer that a child of God is out of that spiritual mindset and is not being led by the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit of God, the worse he becomes, his actions, the worse his life stinks before God, the worse off that he is, the more damage that he can do. That's why just as soon, and I tell you, just as soon as we depart from the principles of God's word that we know, there is that is within us, the Spirit of God, that new creation, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that begins to convict, that begins to accuse in your conscience. That's why, brothers and sisters, we need to pray to God and beg God and never act and go on in such a way that our conscience, that knowledge, knowledge part, that feeling, that seed of affection, to be seared over with a hot iron, to be gnawed down, where we don't feel that accusing, where we don't feel that quickening of God's Spirit within us that reproves us and corrects us as soon as we've done something wrong, as soon as we've said something, as soon as we've made a misstep, as soon as we've erred. It may not be, as I said, one of the monumental. And I have to always be careful with that, because I don't want to give the sense. Sin is sin, and there's really no big sins or little sins, but there are sins that have greater consequences. Can I put it that way? Amen. There are sins that have greater consequences, and there are sins that will take you further than you want to go and make you stay longer than you want to stay and make you pay more than you desire to pay before it's said and done. But oh, we know that it's the little foxes that certainly spoil the vine. We know it's them little things. And if we don't take care and guard there in the little things, then it'll become the bigger things that'll have the more dire and more serious consequences. But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's why it can't depart out of our mouth. That's why that we've got to meditate in it day and night, that we would observe to do accordingly, to walk accordingly. We're not to walk in the same vein, in the same conversation, in the same conduct, in the same lifestyle as the world, as the men of the world. And that's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. And ask that question: are you not carnal? Are you not living and walking and doing like other men? That's those that are out here in the world, the wicked, wicked. No, we don't want to act like the wicked, wicked. We don't want to go in that way. We don't want to emulate. We don't want to mirror. We don't want to go beyond God's word and to come about into vain glory. Paul said, I will glory, but my glory will be in Christ. I will glory in the cross of Christ. I'll glory in tribulation. We don't glory in our good works. I tell you, if and when we do what we're expected to do, we're still just an unprofitable servant. We have just done what we ought to do. And remember that we serve God as we serve His children. As we do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Now, what does he say that if we will do this, that if this book of the law will not depart out of our mouth, and if we'll meditate therein day and night and observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. He said you'll make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. I want you to see them words. Amen. I want you to look at that. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. How will you make your way prosperous? Because you've done what God said. And God is saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to strengthen you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. You'll make your way prosperous. And thou shalt have good success. You know, this world spends multiple millions of dollars on self-helps and success classes. You know, trying to teach folks how to be successful. I want to tell you, you don't have to pay a dime. Amen. You just get into God's word and it'll teach you how to be successful. Yes, it will. Right here, it just says that. And then thou shalt have good success. How will you have good success if you don't let the law of God depart out of your mouth? And if you observe to do and meditate upon it and do according to what's written in, you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Amen. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will help you. The Lord will hold you up. Amen. God said He would. Amen. God's obligated Himself to that. God's obligated Himself to His word. That's why He said that His word is yea and amen. Yeah. Yea and amen. Amen. God's word. He won't let a word, He won't let a jot, a tittle fall to the ground. Amen. But He upholds it. Amen. God is faithful. God keeps His word. God keeps His promises. You ought to read the Bible sometime from the perspective of looking for the promises of God. I tell you, there's so many promises in this book. There's so many promises that God has made. Well, there's so many, and I'll say vows, amen, of that which God has committed Himself to. We've talked about this. You can't commit God. You can't obligate God yourself, but God obligates Himself. God obligates Himself to His word because it's all one. He is one. He and His word. You'd have to destroy God to destroy His word. I want to tell you, God is the very personification of integrity. I want to keep my word. I want to do what I say and if die trying. And if for whatever some unforeseen reason that I'm not able to do it at that particular time, then I want to tell you. And I want to tell you and tell you why at this time I'm not able to do what I said that I would try to do. Amen. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to have a good name. It's very important for our word to be our bond. It's very important. Amen. Why? Because God sets forth this example unto us from his word. Jesus tells us, he told them, don't be swearing. Don't swear by heaven, that's God's throne. Don't swear by the earth, that's God's footstool. Don't swear by the hair of your head. You can't change one color of it. You can't add one or take away a hair, so forth and on. There's things that we don't have control over. But you see, it's not so with God. God has control over everything. Yeah. All power, all authority is in his hand.
Amen.
He is our supreme example. But all in that, he teaches us. And God's word, amen, will teach you that we should be true to our word. I believe there's even an expression that says, blessed is the man that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Well, if we say that we've done something, even though you may have given someone an estimate of doing something for them or a cost of something, and or you've said, well, it's going to be this or it's going to be that. Even if it runs on beyond that, if it costs you more, if it costs you not only finance or time or whatever the situation is, if you said you're going to do for such and such, then we need to do, amen, for such and such. We don't need to take these things lightly. I had no intention of saying those things, but all right, it's all right. That was the vein of thought, and I trust it's the leadership of the Spirit. But it's very important. Oh, I tell you, men of this world, the world by nature, it just runs and kicks and brays like a wild jackass. But I tell you, God's people ain't supposed to be going around acting like jackasses. You hear me this morning? Amen. God's people need to go about looking and acting and living in accordance with God's word. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, and that price is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, we have that the world, it doesn't give, and the world certainly can't take away. And I think I made the statement last Sunday, it doesn't matter a hill of beans about what the world thinks about you or what they or ungodly folks think about you or what you're doing or what you're not doing and so forth and on. I read in Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. Notice that language there. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. It don't matter if sinners entice thee. It don't matter what they say. It don't matter how much they try to lure you or to get you to go in their way or to their way of thinking. Oh, the word of God says, consent thou not. If they say, come with us and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. This is the mindset. This is the way of thinking of the world. This is the way worldly men walk and so forth. But what does the word of God say? Listen to verse 14. Cast in thy lot. They say, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path.
Yeah.
Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't go after them. Don't go after their way. And that's what the apostle, when he was saying there in 1 Corinthians to them, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Walk as worldly men. Walk as men that don't keep the word of God in their mouth. They, they have no sense and no diligence toward, no heed toward, no drawing toward of God's word and the things of God. They don't have that spiritual nature. Go back there with me to Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 21, where the apostle says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. We all know this. We all understand this. We know that when we would do good works of faith, we know that when we would endeavor to try to serve the Lord, then there is that warfare. We talked about that warfare last Sunday. But notice verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Your old man, your sin nature, your flesh nature, your carnal nature, that synonyms, it's all meaning one and the same. That inbred sinful nature, it does not mind the things of God. It has no desire for the things of God. You can only delight in the law of God after the inward man, in accordance with the inward man, from the strength of the inward man, from being in that mindset of the inward man. I want to bring out, and just hold your place there. If you're there in Romans chapter 7, turn over a few pages there to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. We were there in the third chapter, verse 1 through 3, but there in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, I want you to notice in verse 14, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now notice that. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Then this is why Paul told the Romans there in 7 and 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now note, go on to verse 23 in Romans 7. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of the Romans there in 7 and 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now note, go on to verse 23 in Romans 7. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. The principle. He calls it a law. It's a principle. I see another law or a principle. I see that which has an effect in my members, warring against the law of my mind. That body of sin that is in your natural body, that is in your natural man. It wars. It's that warring against the law of my mind, against that spirit nature, that new man created in after holiness, created in true righteousness. And what does it say? And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You see, the old man has to surpass, has to override that new man. You see, what you do to go after the things of the flesh, you override the wooing and the convicting and the stirring of the Spirit of God. When you're contemplating or thinking upon sin, you see, sin has its origin, has its beginning in you. I'm talking about an act of sin, a transgression of God's law has its origin, has its beginning in your sin nature. I believe that we've given enough expressions from God's word to certainly prove that point. So he said that there is that warring in my members, that body of sin, that old man that is warring and against the mind, against the new man. And what to do to bring me into captivity to the law of sin. That principle of sin which is in my members. And the Apostle Paul exclaims, "Oh, wretched man that I am." You know, the Lord blesses the apostle so abundantly right here to be so transparent, to be so open, to lay himself bare. Here's the Apostle Paul. Here is a great man. Here is a man that is dedicated to the service of God. He's not a perfect man, but oh, I tell you what, he's mighty blessed of God, and he has great gifts of God. We can see this through the scriptures. We can see this through his life. We can see the troubles and the agonies and the persecutions and all that he goes through. But he's talking about from the natural standpoint, because of that warring of those members. That I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. He talks about, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who will deliver me from the body of sin that is within my natural body? Who will deliver me from it? He gives the answer. He knew the answer. It's a rhetorical question. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? What's the apostle saying? He's saying, "I get tired of it. I get weary of it. I get wore out with it." And you know, some Sundays ago, I can't remember how long it's been, but it's been more recently that I brought out and talked about in the discourse, the language from Daniel in Revelation. About wearing the saints out, about making war with the saints. I tell you, Satan, he works through. You know, Satan cannot work through your spirit nature, your new nature. He can't touch that. Matter of fact, that spirit nature within you, that new creation, there's that seed within you that cannot sin, the Bible teaches us. Satan don't work with that. He don't work through that. That don't work together. That don't work together. No, it certainly does not. But where does he work on you? He works through your flesh nature. He works through your carnal nature. He works through that body of sin that is within you, gouging and prodding and so forth, annoying, just like gnashing on you, just wearing you out. Making war with the saints. We've never experienced very much outward and physical persecution here in this country. You know, it's probably been the longest period in history where there's been as low a level of religious persecution and more freedom for over 200, going on 250 years because of the Bill of Rights and so forth and all, ever in history. I tell you, it has been through history and particularly since Christ, and over these 2,000 years, the true disciples of Christ have been an outward scourge and scourging all the earth, counted as waste, counted as nothing, reputed and retaliated against, persecuted, tried on every hand. And we might see that to some level or degree. We don't know, but it very well could be. And we know that there's in other countries, you understand, those that name the name of Christ have suffered bodily and physical persecution. But I tell you, there is that warring and there's that battling that's going on inside of us that rages constantly all the time. You know, The scripture admonishes us to meditate on the scriptures day and night. We go to bed, we should be thinking upon those things of the scriptures. We get up in the morning, be thinking upon them. We wake up during the middle of the night, we should be thinking upon them. Because I tell you there, Satan is there ready to take an advantage at any time. He's ready there at any time that we let these things slip. Oh, we've got to be reminded of them. We've got to continue to look at them. We've got to give heed to them and hold them fast. Lest at any time we should let them slip. They could easily slip from us. But the Apostle Paul is so transparent. He is so laid out there that you can see. You can see, I mean, he is so caught up in the spirit and the blessing of the Lord when he is penning in this letter and he is writing this down and says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He's talking about right then. Right then that I am. He didn't say, "Oh, wretched man that I was," or "Oh, wretched man that I used to be." "Oh, wretched man that I am." Why? Because he still had that sin nature with him. That warring of his members were still going on. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to have any peace until we lay our shield and sword down here in this life and close our eyes in death. We're not going to have any peace. I tell you, there's no soundness in our flesh. There's no peace in our flesh. That sin nature is continuously annoying and gnawing and aggravating you. Just some little thing, can just really set you off sometime. And why it is, I don't know, that we get so aggravated and we get so tore up beyond what we ought to from the very one that we love and that loves us the most. I'm talking about from a natural standpoint. I'm talking about your spouse. I'm talking about your wife, your husband, your spouse. Let me say this. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. Now, I'm talking to you that's here this morning sitting on this pew. I don't believe your spouse, anybody in here, is your enemy. The Bible tells us, in a general sense, that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting and warring against powers and principalities, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. It's the devil. The Bible is very plain to tell us that. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. You know, we need to pray for more patience. But of course, when we pray for patience, you know, of course we all want patience, but nobody wants to, you know, we don't want to go through the things, that teach us, you know, the tribulation and those things that teach us patience and the trying of our faith. But the trying of our faith worketh patience. Lord, do help us that we would have more patience with. That we'd have more of a mindset of endurance toward that most special one, our spouse, our husband, our wife, whichever the case is. You know, that they're your best friend. They're even beyond that. Now, we know the Lord is far more than that, but I want to tell you right here on this earth, when it boils right down to it, that one that you're one with, your husband or your wife, amen, is the most special one, the most loved one. And sometimes walking in the flesh and having that fleshly mindset and not being in the spirit, walking in the spirit as we ought to, we'll lash out and hurt the one that we love the most. God forgive us. God help us. And I'm not preaching perfection because I don't live perfection. I don't live perfect. And I don't care how much preaching or whatever or how much praying you do. You'll never be perfect in this life. And you're not going to live a perfect life. And there's not ever going to be a word out of anger or malice or at the spur of the moment that you're going to say it or whatever. But God help us to shut up and don't keep on keeping on after we've said it. You know, know when to hush. Amen. Know when to hush. And I tell you, the time to hush is real quick. Amen. The time to hush is real quick. Oh, wretched man that I am. Brothers and sisters, we're wretched. We're wretched. And I tell you, if it wasn't for the miraculous, marvelous grace of God that passeth all understanding, that saves poor sinners. Yes, we're sinners, but if we're born in the Spirit of God, we're not unregenerate sinners. We're not sold under sin any longer. We're not sold under that principle of sin. We can't use sin as a license, you know, or that we have a sin nature to sin. You know, I'm thankful that he goes on here in verse 25 and to answer that question. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I want you to notice there, back up a page in the 6th chapter of Romans in verse 13. He says, well, we'll just back on up. In verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, preacher, how can I be dead to sin if I still sin? Well, he's talking about dead in the sense that you're not under the law of sin and death. Amen. You're not, let's just go a little bit further and let the scripture interpret the scripture. Verse 12, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. We're not to let it. We're not to let sin reign in our mortal body. And we can do that because we've been made alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members, in verse 13, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Act like you're alive. Act like you've been born again. Act like you've been regenerated. That's what he's saying. As those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall not have dominion over you. The only reason and only way that sin will have dominion over you in this sense of a practical sense is if you yield your members, sir, whoever you yield your members servants to, that's who your master, that's who you're serving. But sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. God's grace is sufficient. Now, John said, the old age apostle, he said, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that his blood will cleanse us. If we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now the commandment is not to sin. But if you sin, he knew we would. He knew that we do. But The more that we're in God's Word, and the more that we, and I'll still stand upon this, the more that we meditate upon God's Word, the more that we have a prayer going on in our mind, the more that we have a ready mindset to serve the Lord, amen, the less sin we're going to commit. Now, I believe God's Word teaches us that. And we're going to have to be in that, in the Spirit, because to have fellowship with God, because go back to what Jesus said, to worship God, to worship Him, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yeah. And I tell you, to have fellowship with God, we've got to be in the Spirit of God. In verse 15 of Romans 6, he said, "What then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" Now, we have to make the distinction and understand that one that is not born of the Spirit of God, they are always in a continuous state of the flesh. That's what Romans chapter 8 here, it says in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Just having that flesh nature, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." One that is in an unregenerate state can do nothing whatsoever to please God. And I do believe in the context here that it is speaking in this regard. But I know that there are many among our people, Primitive Baptists, that use this in a practical sense to teach, far as a child of God, that is in the flesh mindset, a fleshly mindset, and not in the spirit nature, walking in the spirit, they cannot please God. Well, that's true. That's true of God's children. When we are walking after the flesh, when we are in the flesh, that's in it, in that sense, in that vein, in that mindset, in that old man, we can't please God. But I believe in the actual context of this, it's talking about that here the unregenerate. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, because he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit." Now, they're not always in the spirit. But from the point that he's speaking here in the context, they are in the spirit because they're born in the spirit, and they're always in the spirit from that sense. Trying to show both sides of the coin and trying to rightly divide the scriptures. And if you don't do so, all of these scriptures, all that we went over last Sunday and talked about the things, and these things we're talking about this morning, they can be most confusing unto you. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." If the Spirit of God dwells in us, we're in the Spirit. Does that mean we're always in the Spirit mindset and have a ready mind to serve the Lord? No. No, it does not. We've already talked about scriptures that teach us that. We've got to be meditating on God's Word. That's why God has given us His Word. That's why He has preserved His Word. That's why we have it now. God gave it to the children of Israel, the law and the prophets. And that's what He's talking about over there when we read in Psalm, and when we you read what Jesus quoted, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He is quoting from Deuteronomy there. And so they had the law and the prophets back then, and that's what they were told to meditate in. Meditate in it day and night. Do according unto it. And that they'd make their way prosperous and that they'd have good success in doing so. Well, we have so much more of God's word and explanation in the New Testament than what they had. You know, the truths that which was manifested in Jesus coming here and through his preaching and through the preaching of the apostles, much of that was concealed in the old. The law was given, the commandments was given, but a lot of the explanations and the extra that we have from the New Testament, they didn't have written down back then. You see, the new was concealed in the old. Thank God the old is revealed in the new. The old is revealed to us in the new. We can understand it better. When you put it, having it all together, all the scriptures, the Old and the New Testament, over the whole span of time. So the apostle tells them, but you're not in the flesh. You're not under that principle. You're not under that old man. You're being born again. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. There's further proof. The scripture teaching, I believe that he's talking about in a regenerated sense. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You're no longer a debtor. You're not sold under that principle of the old nature. Oh, to live after it. Now we may temporarily and from time to time walk in that and have that kind of mindset. And when we do, the manifestation of the works of the flesh would be made manifest. In verse 13 he says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. This is conditional. This is something that God's promised. This is something that God has said. He's telling to his children, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Not talking about losing eternal life. He's talking about die, far as in the sense of here in this life. Talking about and not having the fellowship of God, not having the blessings and the benefits of God right here. But if ye through the Spirit, that's the only way we can do this, brothers and sisters, is through the Spirit. That's why Sunday morning is not just enough. That's why you've got to read and meditate and pray every day. Yeah. That's why you got to seek the Lord every day. That's why you constantly got to have a prayer on your mind as you go through the day, as you go through the night. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Put down the members of the body. Oh, this body of sin that would work through our members, that would work through our hands, that would work through our feet, that would work through our tongue, that would work through our natural senses and so forth and on. We've got to bring them under subjection. We've got to mortify them. We've got to crucify them. And it's continuously. It's over and over and over. There'll be no rest in this flesh until you breathe out your last. Oh, the warfare won't be over until you lie down in death and your soul and spirit is separated from this body of sin and that embodiment of sin that is in this natural body. Oh, that wars against our spirit, and our spirit that wars, that lusteth against this old flesh nature. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, to give further proof, And the scripture interprets itself in verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." In regeneration, you hadn't received the same thing again. No, you received a new man, a new creation in Christ Jesus, whereby you can mortify, you can crucify, you can put to death, you can rise above, and walk in a way of newness of life and in a way of discipleship, in a way that is honoring, in such a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. You know, we left off there in Romans chapter 12, there in that verse 2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." We have to continuously, as we live here, that having that transformation of mind, not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing. And only that is renewed, that inward man is renewed day by day. In other words, it never grows old. It never loses its benefits. It never loses its power. It never loses that which is ingrained there. It is renewed day by day. It's consistent. It continues on. And so we have to continue on in a way that pleases the Lord with the renewing of your mind. And that's the only way that you may prove. That's the only way you're going to prove what is that which is good, that which is acceptable, that which is perfect, that will of God, is from the spirit mind. Because, you know, it's even with the scriptures. When you go to look into the scriptures from the natural standpoint, there can be so many things to distract. There can be so many things to try to get your attention, to draw you away and so forth. And with the things of this life and the things of this world and the busyness that you're in, you have to have a made-up mind. You have to have a dedicated mind set toward God's Word. And that you say, we're going to give it top priority. We're going to give God's Word the place that it so readily deserves. Not second best, but first in our life, in our time, in our affections, in every single aspect. We'll close by going back over to Galatians. And after, there in the fifth chapter, after you have the works of the flesh that are manifest, then notice in verse 22 through the remainder. But the fruit of the Spirit, and this is walking and living in the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. This is in contrast to the works of the flesh. I want you to notice that the works of the flesh, that's what they're called, the works. They're plural, works. Works of the flesh. But these things down here are called fruit of the Spirit. Singular. It's one spirit, one fruit, manifold. Here that he listed, it's the singular, the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ. Notice that word. They that are Christ. That apostrophe then S, meaning possession, ownership. They that belong to Christ. They that are Christ. They that are His. Have, this is in regeneration. This is in an effectual way, born of His Spirit. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, you'll find that language of the Apostle Paul several places. We read it there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when he said you're carnal because there's envyings and there's strife and those things. Here again, he says, if you're crucifying the flesh, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're producing the fruit of the Spirit, you're not going to be after vainglory. You're not going to be provoking one another. That's in a negative way, provoking one another. We should encourage and exhort one another in positive ways. But this is in a negative way he's talking about. Don't be like this, provoking one another, envying one another, so forth. Lord bless you this morning is my prayer. We'll stop there. We'll select a song and stand together. Certainly, published Open Door of the Church as we stand together.